Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
I'll start with just with a place in which that I'm very uncomfortable, right? You guys ever have a certain place that you go to, and when you're at that place, you're just not comfortable? You're awkward? Those kind of places that you're just very uncomfortable in? The place I'm uncomfortable in is this place, and when I get to this place, I feel a tremendous amount of emotion stir up in me. I find all kinds of my brain going all different directions, and I'm often a little awkward. I'm actually a little more awkward if someone's with me in this place that I go to, and I'm especially awkward when I'm coming back from a really good dinner and I go to this place, or I've just had my grandkids and we've had a blast at the zoo, and I come to this place, it is even more awkward. And this awkward place is the westbound exit off of Highway 40 that goes on to Lindbergh and the left lane. In that left lane, there's a stoplight, which is always red, it seems like, and there is a man there who I'm assuming doesn't have a place to live, who's very close to my car, and when the light turns red, this man tries to get the eye contact of everybody as he walks down the line. And you know that feeling? And it's not that I'm shocked by someone who probably doesn't have shelter and doesn't have a home. I was in the Bay Area for 7 years, San Francisco Bay Area, and that was very common. And so I've learned how to manage this, right? I've learned, and I've gone through many stages of how to deal with this, because you're very close to somebody who's in quite a different spot than you are, as you're in your air-conditioned car, listening to your favorite music, ready to go home after a good meal. It's a very close contact. And I've done things like look straight ahead. This person is not there. I know no one else has done this. Just look ahead, right? Or, I want to look down a little bit, change the radio, I want to talk a little bit, you know? Or sometimes I've gone to places and I think, okay, just give them a smile and a couple bucks and show them some love. And other times I thought, no, I'm not supposed to do that, but what should I do? And I start thinking. You guys know that feeling? All this stuff's going on, right? And but recently, a few years back, I was going through all these things that got me to a point to get through that, but I felt like whatever I'm doing here doesn't seem like Jesus. It just seems like I'm doing a lot of stuff, but I don't really feel great peace about anything I'm doing here. Because I don't think whatever I was doing, it wasn't resembling Jesus. It just wasn't that. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that we have a family resemblance. You know, some of you guys have kids that, I know you really well, and I'm getting to know the kids, but I'm just shocked sometimes because my goodness, that is so-and-so, just a little so-and-so. I can see all the resemblance of you in that child, right? There's this place of this resemblance when we come from someone. And we are actually made, now take this in, even though we've heard it a million times, we're made in the image of God. The beautiful, glorious God. With no sin, with no nothing. The beauty, loving God. We're made in that image. Now, as we know, we have sin that's entered into the world, and that image is not perfectly clear, and it's covered often. But what we have to understand is what the whole understanding of getting connected to Jesus is, it starts restoring the natural design of who we've made to be. The image of God begins coming through as we reconnect to our Creator, our Father, who's Jesus, and we become kids that begin bearing His image. We start actually, because we have the Holy Spirit, we begin expressing the way we're designed to be. And so when you think about it, so if this is, we're in God's images and we are to take on these glorious traits, how does that happen? And you know this verse so much, but we just keep saying it. Here's how you live life. Love God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. That's how you do it. That's how the image starts coming to a place of you start reflecting the glorious image of God by loving God and loving your neighbors yourself. Now, what we don't understand many times is when this story was told, we forget to see what happened, like in Luke, what followed up with some of the questions. And the questions they had after Jesus made this very declarative statement, and it says, to justify themselves, they said, now who's my neighbor? Right? So like, where's the line here, right? Is this my next door neighbor, or what's my neighbor, or is it the Jewish community, or what is this, my neighbor? And he gives this amazing story, which most of you know, is on the Good Samaritans, where there's a Jewish man who's traveling and gets stripped, beaten, and is left for dead and robbed, and he's laying there, and so Jesus is telling this story. Now you have to understand, the Jews despise culturally the Samaritans. They despise them. And so now we have a Jewish man laying there, and the religious people who were Jewish didn't stop, but the Samaritan crossed the street and helped this man, bandaged his wounds, carried him to a place on a donkey to be able to take care of him, paid about $300 to $400 and said, if you need any more, I'll come back, I'll check in on him, and do whatever it takes, I'll pay for it. That's your neighbor. So when he said this, you have to understand what he was getting across is, your neighbor is whoever. And he went to the extreme of, in the place of saying, your neighbor is even the person who hates you. It's your neighbor. And so as we look at this, we start seeing this is just the image of Jesus. This is the image of the Father, is what it says in Micah, that, you know, what does God require of us? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We see this in Jesus, in the very way that he lived and what he lived for, to bring good news to the poor, to release those who were held captive and the oppressed to set them free. I mean, you know, we see all that. And then we also understand that we see all these statements that are, they're the just as statements. You ever seen the just as statements in the New Testament? Just as Jesus did this, you do that too. Just as Jesus did this, you do that too. Just as Jesus forgave, you forgive. Just as Jesus loved, you love that way. Just the way Jesus gave down his life, you lay down. In other words, you want, this is what God's children do, because that is the image of God. And so, and then when we do that, this crazy thing happens. It talks about in 1 Corinthians that we, as we contemplate and we're doing these things, we contemplate God's glory and we're being transformed into his image to ever-increasing glory. This comes from the Lord. So the way we become who we've been designed to do is love God with all we have, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and our neighbor is whoever has need around us, whoever is there. So, you want to turn it in your Bibles or on your phones to Luke 6. We're going to be covering 32 and 30 through 36, but there's some context I want to put ahead of time, so you might want to look at that as well, because I can only just snap through some of the putting it into context. But this is really where Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount. Starts out. Now, if you can imagine this, the disciples are all with him, and this place that he's at, it's describing it that these people that were around him had diseases, they were troubled by impure spirits, and they were desperate people. You have to understand, in that culture, when you're a widow, when you were crippled, when you had acted weird and had impure spirits, you were just, whoosh, put away. You're just marginalized and disconnected from the culture. There's even theological understanding of why you did this. You must have done this, and you must have done that. And so we have to understand, when Jesus has seen these people. These people are poor, and they're desperate. And they start sensing God's power coming through Jesus, and it tells them that they begin trying to just touch him. And when they touched him, he healed all of them. Pretty cool day. And then he looked around and he said to the disciples, and he'd been going into what we hear often is, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the hungry, you'll be filled. You know, he goes, so blessed are the weep, you will be laughing. And then he gives some woes to the rich. And he continues on. We look in where he starts beginning saying to, he says in 27, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, do not retaliate, don't be generous. It just goes on and on. This is leading up to the text that we're going to be talking about. And so, and then it moves in from there. Now, if you can, now think about this. This whole, you know, the awkward moment of feeling uncomfortable? When the disciples come up on this group of people and they're acting crazy and doing and desperate and all that, I'm guessing it's like, whoa, this is uncomfortable, right? But Jesus moves right in and loves these people and shows mercy on them. And then they get all done with that, and then he does a teaching and he goes to another level. Oh, by the way, even if people hate you, you do this. Like, oh my goodness, right? And so he begins explaining that, and he says, love your enemies, you know, those who mistreat you. And then he goes on explaining a little bit more about this, and this is such good insight to how to live. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. So what he's saying is saying, you have to understand, what I'm asking you as a child of God is to have a representation, a resembling of me, and what you're thinking is you're thinking of a normal person in the world. This is normal human love, what you would call love. It's this kind of love. It's reciprocating love. It's that you love someone so you can receive something back, and they love you, and you love them back. It's this human love, right? And so I call this the child of the world's love. You know, it's human. And what it means by that is it's that if you love those who love you, you do good to those who do good to you back, and you lend to those expecting them to pay you in full. Now, as you think about this, Jesus is not coming against, in a strong way, human love. He's just saying, that is just normal stuff. This is just normally how humans do. It's an exchange. And, you know, quite honestly, it's much better than not loving, right? It's not like it's, at least you're loving and having reciprocal love. You're choosing to do something good for someone and get something back. It'd be a lot worse if you did bad to people, right? So he's not coming down on human love. He's just saying, this is just human love, and it's so limited in what it can do, if you wouldn't even call it love. It's just the way we operate. And it's like in lending, you know, hey, I think it's better to lend to someone you love with and show love without interest and get the whole thing back. It's better than gouging them with interest with your friends and saying, I want that plus interest, right? But what he's getting to, he's basically understanding, he's pointing out that even evil people, sinful people who are known for that, and they're putting it in normal terms, the mafia does that. People in prison do that. People who have known for their sin do that. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about something else. See, human love is, it's this taste of reciprocating love, where you love and you get love back. And then because of that, you want to love those who will love you back. Or if you risk, you want to try to aim at the people who might love you back, right? And it's this exchange. If you can imagine it, comparing it to money or investment, it's like you show good to others with your time, energy, and money, with the counting on at least you'll get that much back, because you know you need that back, right? And if you don't get that much back, it's kind of a bad investment, because you're left a little on the deficit side, you know. And so the idea is that, you know, and then if you have somebody who doesn't pay you back anything or pays you back with a bad attitude, oh my goodness, you know, loss, bad investment in human love terms. Now, there's even terms to show how much we think this way as humans, right? And we've all said them, like, you owe me now, right? I just moved your furniture, your piano. You owe me now. I think I've said that numbers of times, actually. Because why? Because I've put into your account, I need some back. You owe me, don't forget that. Other terms that we start using in this kind of spot is this place of, like, you know, I really ask you to do that, but I really don't have the equity to ask you. In other words, I don't have enough in your account to ask you to move my piano. Right. And the other thing is that I promise, I'll make it up to you. Right? That's when your funds are getting a little short, but you still need help. How about this one? It's a two-way street. Those are all terms. And you go on and on. It's a, you know, I've heard people say, you know, how someone treat me, and they're asking me to do that. Like, don't they know they've drained my account already, and now they're asking me for more? Right? These are just normal human things. I've heard people say in marriage is 50-50. Good luck with that, all right? Yeah, keep score on that one. That's why the better or worse thing has to come in there and you have to say it out loud. Right? This is different, all right? Now, as we think about that, is this place, and as we, this whole place of understanding this, and so, I mean, I remember when I was a young Christian, we decided to help this single mom who had a house that was running down and her front yard was a mess. So we went in, and I mean, we tore out weeds and this and that. And I remember thinking, man, this is a lot of work. And this gal came out and got angry because how we were doing it and never said thank you. And I went away saying, it's not what I said, but I said, what is that about? That was the worst day of my life. Why? Because I didn't get payback. I didn't get my account filled back up with the response. That's human love. That's where it leaves you. It never leaves you in the plus. It leaves you even at best and usually striving for more because you know you need more than that, right? I remember I saw this guy on YouTube, and he would go to bus stops. And he'd find someone who needed a car. He'd make sure, hey, you are here. I don't have a car. I have to go to the bus. Would you like a car? Oh, I'd love a car. So he actually had these nicer used fixed cup cars, all tested, approved, licensed, and they'd have a hunk of money to pay for the first year's insurance, and it's filled up with gas. And as soon as he knew the car, he'd take them over around the corner and say, here you go. And they'd cry, and, you know, the likes would go. There's this one guy, he says, you serious? He says, yeah. He says, okay. He walks around the corner, hands him the keys, doesn't say anything, just gets the money and drives off. And you can see this YouTube guy going, oh no, what do I do now? Because there was no payback, there was no credit, right? And he just kind of left there. Didn't give him any likes. Like, just kind of awkward. Now, when we're at this spot where we start leading the human life, we always will find ourselves in places of, at best, trying to keep things even, but with little capacity of abundance, right? And what I've also seen, I've seen people who understand this, and they say, well, what I'm going to do, and here's the result of human love, is I'm going to narrow my field down to maybe a very close group of friends, a very close family, tight family, and they reciprocate really well, and they become completely out of touch with all the need around you and the people around you. So, what Jesus is saying, he's saying the love I'm talking about is so different than this. And so, I want to freeze here and just ask a question, okay? Don't say it out loud in case you're wrong. If you're certain you're right, you can scream it out, but I'd say just wait. The question is God's love loving without expecting anything back? Should we desire credit and reward for our good deeds? Okay? The next section explains the answer to that. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Continue on. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. So, what's it saying there? The very way this Jesus' teaching starts is, if you want, you're not going to get credit here. The question is he saying credit's bad? No, he's saying, no, you want to find out how to get the right credit, the right reward. And what he says here is the right reward, as good as it is when people respond to you in love back, which is a great gift and right and good, and that's a blessing from God, he's saying, don't expect anything back. In other words, don't be looking for that. The success is not if it comes back. The response is not the success of what you've done. If you do that, then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because you're just acting like your Father. You're living out your true image. You're resembling your Father. And in that spot, there's something that happens. That phrase is kind of wild. It says to be children of the Most High. I mean, we know it mainly means, I think what it means there is when you start loving this way, you begin understanding to deeper and deeper levels your true identity as a child of God. You know, that God is my Father and I'm participating with Him and I have this glorious image that He's created me in, and I can be displayed as I love the way He loves. So there's great reward. You understand that you're created in His image. And here's what you also understand. Everybody is. Everybody. And as you understand that for yourself, you begin seeing differently to the people around you. You know, I call this this place of divine love, child of God love. Something that comes from God. It's come from this image of God in us, the place of the Holy Spirit within it coming through us. You know, these verses, I think some of those just and verses I talked about, Romans says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Now here's why. In order to bring praise to God. See the reward there? Love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, when we love this way, it connects us to God. It allows us to sense God's pleasure as we love Him, as we worship Him, we get to see Him. We get to see him as we love people as he loves them. We get to see who God is. We see that their image is in God, and we see God in them, and God comes through and allows us to, this is our worship. This is a place that's a great reward. This is where something happens when we love this way. And it just closes with such just simple but, oh, so profound instruction. Okay, so here's what you do. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. It says in Scripture that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Some translations say, be compassionate. I think the word that captures it best, if you look at the original Greek, is tender mercy. Have tender mercy, like your Father has tender mercy. Mercy is this place that your natural place is to hold against, to put yourself above. Those are all natural tendencies, but mercy is saying, no, no. I've received mercy and I give mercy. I give favor, just as Jesus gave favor to me. You know, it's this essential thing of what God's looking for is for, he's looking for compassion. He says this all the time to the Pharisees who were doing so many things. He says, you got it figured wrong, man. I'm not looking for sacrifices like that. I'm looking for what? Compassion. The power of compassion. It bursts everything. If you look at Jesus' ministry, here's what you see all the time. And he looked at the crowd, and he had compassion. And then he did multiple things. He didn't always even do the same thing. There's verses, I just picked a few of them. He says, he saw the crowd, had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He had that experience a lot. He would see people, and he would just feel where they're at. He'd feel compassion. And then he would respond in really different ways. Sometimes he would just weep and pray to his Father. Sometimes he would pray to his Father for more workers. Many times he began teaching them and talking and interacting with the crowd or the person. He healed them. He freed them. Other times he actually fed them when he had compassion. But what we have to understand, it was birthed out of compassion. Kindness. Even to those who are really ungrateful. You know, the prodigal son is a picture of God. In your eyes, the prodigal son, he did everything wrong. To the place he got himself in such a spot, he was almost starving to death, so messed up. And he desperately started coming back home, and it says, this is the father's response. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. He did a lot of things for him after that, but that's what his lead was. And so, when we talk about being like Jesus, it's Jesus shows mercy to those who don't deserve it all the time. That's just the most powerful thing he does. And we get to do the same thing. You know, so... But we have to learn this. You know, the invitation is pretty simple. It's just be merciful as your Father is merciful. Colossians says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so, what I would say is, when you go through your week, and as we go through this series, pay attention to when you sense need in another person. Pay attention to somebody that maybe your mind starts going into judgment, or the person who's just somehow catches your eye, that person you run across, or that person that you start thinking about, and you think, what am I thinking about them? And just begins understanding that what God is looking for is mercy. And a view of that person and seeing that person the same way the Father sees him. You know, what's so strange now is, I don't know if I'm there, but I'm getting closer. Like, what would Jesus feel when you pull up in your air-conditioned car with such abundance, and the guy's 2 feet away from you that is in such pain and surviving? And what's strange is that I kind of wish I had, here's a good formula for you at that point. But what God is looking to come out of you at that point is not this, this, and this. It's what's happening inside of you. Do you find compassion that undoes you? Right? That's, you're in reality when you're doing that. When you feel compassion and you begin crying out like Jesus did, like, we need more workers on the field, man. We need you to come and help. We need to be in praying or acting. But we jump ahead to think, how can I do this thing so I can get on home? Those moments are beautiful moments because God is there. God is in that person. He is. He is in the image of God in front of you. And somehow when you begin understanding that and not putting yourself in a different place to say, I'm in God's image, but he's not, or they're not, something happens. And I can't tell you exactly what that means, except that you're in reality and it connects you to God's heart. You start seeing that person just like a father would see their child walking by the windows. And then you say, God, I don't know what to do. But the main thing is God is looking for not sacrifice, but compassion and mercy.